Some years ago in a country in Africa, a follower of Islam, a Muslim man, became a Christian. A one-time follower of Muhammad turned to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And many of his friends asked him, "Why have you done such a thing? How could you do such a thing?" To which he replied this. He said, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down a road and suddenly the road forked in two directions. And you didn't know which way to go, but there at the fork were two men, and one was dead and one was alive. Which one would you ask to show you the way?" Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We serve a risen Saviour who's in the world today. We sung this evening, "I know that my Redeemer lives." No one here goes on a pilgrimage to the coffin of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is risen from the dead and he is gloriously alive forevermore. And so on this Easter Sunday, we've already recalled the facts of that first Easter week. That Christ died for our sins. The soldiers found him dead. They said it was so when Pilate asked them if he was truly dead. Joseph of Arimathea took him down from the cross with Nicodemus and buried him in his new tomb. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, he rose from the dead, and then he appeared. On one occasion in a garden, in a room, at the roadside, on the seashore, on a mountain. The Bible gives us 11 separate occasions recorded by 6 independent reporters, 3 of whom were eyewitnesses to the fact the Lord Jesus Christ rose victorious from the grave. He appeared to men and to women. He appeared to brilliant intellectuals and he appeared to common fishermen. He appeared to the believing and the joyful. He appeared to the sceptical. He appeared to 1s and 2s and 3s and 7s and 11s and on one occasion to 500. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and then he appeared. And gloriously his resurrection transformed a bunch of, well, dejected, faithless, demoralized, downcast disciples into a world force who turned the world upside down and did so by preaching the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they preached it with boldness, and they were persecuted and put to death for doing so. On Easter Sunday evening, we again remind ourselves of the facts, and we do that with no apology, because there are many today who doubt, and there are many today who are still in confusion about what Easter is all about. When I went into Shepshed High School last week, I think it was, or the week before, I put up for them to see a survey of a number of 7 to 14 year olds who were asked 3 questions about Easter. And the first question was, according to the Bible, why did some people want to arrest and kill Jesus? And the answer of this group of 7 to 14 year olds was, because everybody thought he was a wizard. I won't tell you how they spell thought, but still, because everybody thought he was a wizard. Some wanted to put him to death because he was shopping the cheats. One did it for money, and the others did it because he healed people on days that he shouldn't. That was the answer. To question number 2, why is the cross an important symbol for Christians? The answer was, because Jesus hung himself. And to the third question, what do Christians celebrate on Easter Sunday? There were 3 answers. One was chocolate. One was when he rode into Jerusalem waving palm trees, but road is spelt as though they were in a boat. And thirdly, what do Christians celebrate on Easter Sunday? The third answer was Christmas. A lot of confusion, let alone doubt today about what Easter really is. And so it should be our joy again to remember what the biblical explanation of these things is. That God raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead as predicted. Jesus 3 times, we read in Mark's Gospel, said that he would be handed over, he would be crucified, on the third day he would rise. He said, "Destroy this temple," speaking of himself, "and I will raise it in the third day." He himself drew an analogy between himself and Jonah, saying, just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He was predicting his death and his resurrection. It is true, he is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes upon him, though they die, they shall live. It's true. This is the truth which was proclaimed by the angels. He's not here, he's risen. It was a truth proved by his many appearances. He's risen from the dead. It was a truth which was preached time and time again by the apostles. Predicted, proclaimed, proved, and preached. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now we recall those facts and we state the biblical explanation, but tonight I wanted to look at the resurrection as a sign. As a sign. You see, John, writing in chapter 20 and verse 30, says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs." And that tells us that the resurrection too is a sign. That's a sign. Jesus did many other miraculous signs. And a sign, of course, points to something. We don't stay at the signpost itself. We go to where it points. And so we need to ask ourselves this evening, the resurrection is a sign. A sign of what? What does it point to? What does it make clear to us? I want to begin with a few words about the importance of the resurrection here in John's Gospel. It's the climax of the Gospel. In a sense, the climax is Jesus rising from the dead and Thomas professing, "My Lord and my God." The resurrection, before we look at the signs, is at the very heart of the Christian faith. Now, have we settled that in our hearts? Martin Luther says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 that Christ was raised for our justification, that in these verses the whole of Christianity is comprehended. The whole of Christianity is understood in Christ being raised for our justification. Can't you see that a living faith cannot survive a dead Saviour? It's that important to us. Ask yourself tonight, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, what difference, if any, would there be to your life? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus Christ hasn't risen from the dead, then our faith and our preaching are useless, and we remain dead in our sins. It's not an optional extra that we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. With our tongue we confess that Jesus is Lord, but in our hearts we are to also believe that God raised him from the dead. I mean, just think of it in these ways, briefly. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then his own expectations were disappointed. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, his repeated promises are false and we should not believe in him. If he did not rise from the dead, his assurances are worthless. They're not worth the paper they're printed on. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then his disciples were at best incompetent transmitters of the truth, and they're false witnesses. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then death is final and death is victorious. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then there's no good news for the dying. And we might as well stop wasting our time and go home if Christ was not raised from the dead. It's that important to us. Our preaching and our faith is useless and we're still in our sins if Christ was not raised from the dead. It's that important. And it struck me this year with a new freshness how important it was to a man like Simon Peter. Because the resurrection is at the heart of what is proclaimed by this previously dejected, rejecting, denying, demoralized man. There he is on the day of Pentecost proclaiming Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised up. There it is, Pentecost message. What's he preaching? The resurrection of Jesus. He does that in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 23-24 and again in verse 32. After they've healed the man at the beautiful gate, Peter gives explanation of by what power it's been done. And he says it's by this Jesus whom God has raised up. What does Peter delight to preach in time and time again? It's Christ risen from the dead. And so we find persecution coming to the early church. Chapter 4 of Acts and verse 2. We find there the religious leaders are disturbed at what? The preaching of the resurrection. What marked them? They're proclaiming the resurrection. And on account of that, they're being seized and threatened and imprisoned. But every time in chapter 2, 3, 4 and 5, we come across Peter preaching, he's preaching Jesus whom God raised from the dead. He's severely threatened, but he goes on preaching. They lay hands on him, they imprison him, an angel frees him. He goes into the temple courts, and what does he preach? God raised up Jesus Christ. Now just imagine in the life of Peter how important the resurrection must have been. I mean, he goes on preaching it when he faces threats and imprisonment. And when he either had a death wish, or he's mad, or he's deceived, or he's bad, trying somehow to save his own sake and his pride, rather perversely, or it's true, and it must be preached. And the Bible says that it's true. It's at the heart of what we preach and what we believe, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification. That's how important the resurrection is. But John makes clear here in verse 30 that the resurrection is a sign. And as we said this evening, a sign points. That means that God himself is saying something in the resurrection. God is declaring something in the resurrection, in this event. What is he saying? What does the resurrection tell us? It's a sign of what? Well, first of all, as is very clear from John's Gospel, the first thing that the resurrection is a sign of is, number one, the identity of Christ. The resurrection confirms, affirms, declares who the person of our Lord Jesus Christ is. In the event of God raising him from the dead, God is saying something, God is declaring something. Just as at Jesus' baptism, when we hear, "This is my beloved Son," hear him, we hear the voice of God from heaven, so in a sense God is speaking to us in the resurrection. The resurrection is telling us who God says Jesus Christ is. In the resurrection, God himself is authenticating Christ's own claims about himself. By raising him from the dead, he's vindicating the claims of Christ. He's certifying them. You know, sometimes when people bring to you an ugly mugshot of themselves to go on their passport, you write on the back, "I solemnly swear that this is a true likeness of so and so." You certify it. You solemnly declare that this is true. That's what God is doing in the resurrection. He's authenticating the truth of the claims of Christ. He's solemnly declaring who he is. You see, Jesus has made many great claims. That there's forgiveness of sin in his name. If that's not true, it's blasphemous. He proclaims that he is at the center of the good news. He preached himself. He announced that he'd give his flesh for the whole world. He declared that he was God, that the Father and he were one. And he dies on the cross. And then God, certifying who he is, raises him from the dead. It's just as a voice coming from heaven. So is the mark of ownership and authentication from God upon Christ. When Paul comes to preach at Pisidian Antioch in Acts chapter 13, he quotes from Psalm 2. Where we read, "Today you have become my son." And what Paul is there saying is, look, the resurrection declares, it's the same as God saying, "This is my son." Just as he did at the transfiguration and at his baptism. The resurrection says something to you this evening. It declares to you the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, at Pentecost, Peter preaches, doesn't he, saying that Christ was accredited by God through his miracles, his wonders and his signs. The miracles which John outlines here in his Gospel, done by the power of the Spirit, demonstrate who Christ is. The winds and the waves obey him. He has power over nature because he's God. He feeds 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish, demonstrating his power to provide. Just like in the wilderness with the manna, he's showing us that he's God. And here God raises him from the dead, demonstrating his power over death. The resurrection is telling us who our Lord Jesus Christ is. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, the resurrection declares Jesus Christ to be the Son of God with power. It's a declaration to us of who Jesus is. So when John says there are many other signs, We know that the resurrection is a sign to us. It's a sign of what? Number one, it's a sign of the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, the resurrection is the sign of the seeming great reversal from the cross. You see, the cross seemed to question the claims of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's put there, forsaken on the cross, and he who's on the is hung on a cross on a tree is known to be accursed. And so it looks like God is cursing the Messiah. And therefore the Jews think he cannot be the Messiah. But in the resurrection, the one who is accursed is accepted. A declaration as God raises him from the dead. The seemingly disowned is owned and raised from the dead. First sign, it tells us the identity of Jesus the Christ, that he's God. Secondly, it tells us of the success of his finished work on the cross. Secondly, it's a sign to us, it's telling us of the success of Christ's finished work already on the cross. Why do I say that? Well, on the cross, he gave his life as a ransom. He gave his life as a ransom. And we could have the question, well, can we be sure it was enough? When Jesus declares it is finished, was he speaking the truth? Was the sacrifice acceptable? Can we be confident? Because there on the cross, Jesus stood in our place to meet the claims, the demands of the law and justice with regard to our rebellion. And so is what he did sufficient? He says it's finished, but what does God declare in the resurrection? Well, the resurrection is God's proof, God's declaration, that all who trust in Christ shall be acquitted because of what he has done for them. It's glorious, it's finished, says Christ, and God in the resurrection proves that again, reassures us, declares it. Those who trust in him are acquitted. The resurrection proclaims to us that the holy and the offended God, it proclaims to us that the judge of all the earth is fully and completely satisfied with the work that his son has done upon the cross. Can you see that? The resurrection proclaims to us that Christ has borne the full punishment. There's no more to pay. God's wrath has been turned aside. He has been propitiated by the sacrifice. And that's the great joy for us as Christians. We normally mention on Easter Sunday from the Old Testament the high priest who once a year entered into the Holy of Holies with blood to make atonement. And we believe that the people waited outside and listened for the tinkling of the bells on the hem of his garment as he came out. Had the sacrifice been accepted? And they waited to hear the bells. And when they heard the bells, they knew that the sacrifice had been accepted. And so it is with the resurrection. It's like the ringing of the bells to us. Again, in the high school last week, or whenever it was, every day seems to run into another these days, told the story of tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. The man who'd been in prison in the States for 3 years for passing dud checks, who then wrote to his wife and said, if you still want me, tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years, do you still want me? If I don't see a ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us. James mouthing all the words, put the blame on me. And of course the story is that he came down the bus that day to Miami and he came to the old oak tree and he couldn't look to see. He said, I'm really still in prison and my love, she holds the key, a simple yellow ribbon's all I need to set me free. And they come to the village centre and there around the old oak tree is what? 100 yellow ribbons. A sign to him that he's accepted by his wife, that he's forgiven by his wife, that he's got a future. And the resurrection is a sign to us the same. That those of us who trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's certifying to us that we are forgiven and accepted and we've got a great future. Because God has raised the sacrifice which he himself has provided to himself from the dead. The rising of the sacrifice shows that it's sufficient and acceptable. You see, the cross is not a defeat needing resurrection. The cross is a victory which the resurrection follows and seals. It's a sign to us of the success of Christ's finished work. Before we move on, just think about this. If any of the claims of the law and of God's justice had not been met on the cross, if they hadn't been met, what would have happened to Christ? Well, he would have remained under the power of death. The wages of sin is death. The ransom price is death. For the believer, the wages of our sin is Christ's death. He pays the penalty. If the penalty had not been fully paid, he would have remained dead. But once justice divine is satisfied, once the price is fully paid, once the ransom fully meets the demands of the law, death cannot keep its prey. You see that? It's impossible for a just God to release Christ if full atonement for sin has not been made. Equally, it would have been impossible for a just God not to release him after his demands had been fully met. And so the resurrection is a sign to us that they have been fully met. He's been raised for our justification. When he'd borne all our sins away, when he'd fully atoned for all sin, it was not possible that he should be held under death. It's a sign to us. It declares that all who believe in him are acquitted of their sins against a holy God on account of him dying in our place. The case against the believer is dismissed because Christ has died in our place. The resurrection is a fact, but it's a sign too. It's a sign to us of who Christ is. Secondly, it's a sign of the success of his finished work on the cross. Thirdly, it's a sign to us of a cosmic change which then began. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in one way, is the beginning of the end for this world. It's also the beginning of the endless world for those who believe in him. The resurrection is the beginning of the end. It's also the beginning of the endless. Why can we say that of the resurrection? Why is it a sign to us of this cosmic change? We had a little earthquake here, didn't we, in Shepshed a few weeks ago. The tectonic plates moved. Well, the plates moved hugely, as it were, in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of the end for this world, but the beginning of the endless. We can say that because in Colossians, Paul refers to Christ as the beginning. In him being raised from the dead, he is the beginning of something new, something that's different from the old order which has preceded it. The resurrection weekend was the most radical weekend the world has ever known, introducing the biggest change in the world since creation, and a change of cosmic proportion. It's important we understand that. It's not just that the resurrection declares who Christ is and the success of his work, it also declares a cosmic change which begins. Because the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is nothing less than an act in which the powers of another world, the age which is yet to fully come, breaks into the history of this world. It's a death to the old order. It's a coming alive to the new. It's a weekend which changed the power structures in history. Now let me very briefly take you through that. In Genesis we read that God made the world in 6 days. We read that all was very good. A creation made by God and made for God for his glory. We then read that the world fell at the fall when Adam and Eve sinned, when sin entered the world. And the Bible teaches that as a result of sin, this present order, this present world, this present age is passing away, it's decaying, and it's bound for the fire of destruction. Yet the Bible also speaks of a new heaven and a new earth, where there's no more death, where there's no sorrow, where there's no pain, where there's no crying, where Christ's people shall dwell with him forever, in perfect, sinless, eternal bliss and fellowship. So there's one age which is already decaying and coming to fire, but there's another endless age which is going to be. Well, the fullness of that age is not yet come. But it began when its power broke into the history of this world on the day of resurrection. There's one world which is coming to fire. There's another world, a new creation of glorious eternal bliss for all who trust Christ. And of course, living as we do now after Pentecost, we're living in the overlap of this order which is decaying and going to fire, but the new age which has yet begun in Christ's resurrection. The new age dawned that first resurrection morning. Christ's resurrection ushered in the world of resurrection. He is the inaugurator of a new humanity of which he is head. And that's why the Apostle Paul says that Christ is the beginning. The resurrection is about more than the resurrection of one man. It has cosmic significance. It's about the dawning of a new order of which Christ is one, the beginning, and second, of which he is the firstborn from the dead. Adam failed the first humanity. Adam was the head of the first humanity, and he failed. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks of the last Adam, the second man who is the Lord from heaven. And Christ is the head of this new humanity. And this new humanity is going to be with Christ forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And all that dawned. Don't we ever seen a dawn? It's dark and then you get the first little glimpses, don't you? The orange. The only time I ever see dawn is when I'm dragged out of bed on holiday and see it over the sea down in Cornwall. You see that strange light just coming up and then it goes an odd sort of orange. I'm sure you see it every day of the week, but I don't. It just dawns. And of course eventually it comes into the full light of day. But the resurrection age has yet to reach the full light of day, but it will do. But it dawned there. The resurrection is a sign to us of a cosmic change which began. The beginning of the end for this world, but the beginning of the endless in Christ. And lastly, the fourth sign this evening. The resurrection is central. The resurrection is important. The resurrection is a sign of the identity of Christ. It's a declaration that his work, his finished work on Calvary's cross was a success. It's a sign to us of a cosmic change, of a new world order which has begun and dawned in Christ, in the new humanity of which he's head. Fourthly, it's a sign of a personal pledge of the resurrection of his own people. In the resurrection we see a personal pledge of our own resurrection in Christ and of its power. And I say that because our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection is described in the Bible in terms of the first fruits of the harvest. Christ was the first resurrection, but it's the first fruits. There's going to be others. Christ is linked with the dead who shall rise. He rose from the dead. Others will too. Who? Well, we shall all rise from the dead. Even the woman I mentioned briefly this morning who was buried in Hanover in Germany, and insisted that upon her gravestone was put marble and cement, just poured on to stop any possibility of her rising from the dead. More of that next Easter Sunday. We shall all rise from the dead. But here, the first fruits, the resurrection of Christ is being linked to those who will rise in him, having trusted him. And the first fruits is obviously a harvest context. There's a seed which goes into the ground and dies. And when it dies, it produces a harvest. It produces, as John says in chapter 12, many seeds. And then we have the first fruits of the harvest. It's the first fruit of the harvest. But the first fruit has a relationship with the rest of the harvest. The whole harvest is going to be gathered in, but the first fruits is that which rises first. But of course, all the fruit was produced from the same seed. There's actually only one harvest produced. Some was the first fruit, and that which followed was part of the same harvest. And Christ's resurrection is described as the first fruits. The first resurrection. There are going to be others. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ here, you should be looking forward to your receiving your resurrection body. If you're in Christ here this evening, you've already been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. And Christ's resurrection is both the promise of and the beginning of our own resurrection. He's the first fruits. His resurrection is not an isolated, remarkable event, but a beginning, a foundation, a pledge, a guarantee. Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of a larger harvest, and there's an organic connection between all those who are raised. The one is inseparable from the others. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is inseparable from the resurrection of his people. His resurrection is their resurrection. Paul sees these not so much as two events, but two episodes of the same events. And by the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, those of us who by grace are Christians this evening have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. And one day, though, if the Lord should not come first, we shall be called home and we shall go to be with him. Our body will go into the ground. But his bodily resurrection on that first resurrection morning is a sign and a pledge and a guarantee of our bodily resurrection too. Just as he has been raised, so we have been raised and our bodies will be raised. When we stand in glory, we shall see his face. We shall be like him. We won't have the deficiencies which we know in our bodies here, balding and greying and everything else as well, not in the resurrection body. I mentioned to you before, a little Welsh girl who loves to sing, "When I stand in glory, I will see his face." And she sings that because she's never stood on this earth, always been in a wheelchair. And she sings, "When I stand in glory," she says, "I will. I shall stand in glory because I shall receive my resurrection body." And Christ's resurrection is a personal pledge of our own bodily resurrection too. Friends, in Christ we have a glorious hope. The best is yet to come. One day we shall be forever with the Lord. And all of grace. The resurrection is a fact. As we heard this morning, we're to make a personal response to it. It's a sign to us here this evening. It's a sign of the identity of Christ. Can I encourage you this evening to worship him? The resurrection is a confirmation of who he is from God. A declaration, a vindication of Christ's claims. He is my Lord and my God. Worship him. What idols are you worshipping this evening? What comes between you and the pure worship of the living God? Won't you tear those idols from your heart and worship only him? He's God. It's a sign of the success of his work at Calvary. Won't you trust in him and in him alone? Not in your religion, not in your good works, not in your church attendance, but trust in Christ. As we saw this morning, he's the only one who can bring peace. He's the only one who can forgive you your sins. He's the only one who can give you true life. Won't you trust in him? Are you really going to go on even from today pursuing your life of ignoring him? Of having him as a little footnote in your life? Will you not worship him as he demands and trust him? Thirdly, it's a sign of cosmic change. May you know what it is here this evening to join in that cosmic change and be born again of God's Spirit. Oh, that you would repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer here, part of this age of resurrection, more and more you would count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. that yes, it's true, I've been seated together in the heavenly realms with Christ, and live in the light of it. And fourthly, it's a personal pledge of your own bodily resurrection. Will you not be from this day forward much more a person of the future? The future that depends upon the past and Christ's death for you. But we said before that hope is in a sense a true measure of our Christianity. The way in which we eagerly look forward to all that is yet to come. Four signs from the scriptures of what the resurrection is saying to us. May we hear what the Spirit has said to us. May we humble ourselves before God. And may we live in the light of all that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ declares to be true about him. Jesus Christ is risen today. He's able to save you to the utmost. He's able to save all who come to God through him. He's able to give you peace for a troubled soul. He's able to give you forgiveness for all of your sins. He's able to give you life, as opposed to you carrying on making the most of spiritual death. Will you not turn from your sins here this evening and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved?